Godola, man. This aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shit.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come
on the point
in?
Of order.
Greetings from the Sunday Times studios here in Parktown, and welcome to Sunday Times Politics Weekly with me, Amil Amrao. I am joined in the studio this week by my colleagues Apiwe de Klerk and Zingisa Mvumvu. Guys, unfortunately, this week we have an all-male podcast session. Unfortunately, there's lots of testosterone bouncing off
I
these walls.
I think Patavela Dlamini will have a serious problem with this arrangement.
And it's not because we are a patriarchal structure here at the Sunday Times. Just because our far superior female colleagues are busy putting the paper together for Sunday, and the three of us are just clowning around in the office and thought we need something to do.
Yeah. Chiefly, you're going to get us fired.
But this week, we've only got one focus for you guys, and it's the most important topic of the week, and that's President Cyril Ramaphosa's announcement of his new cabinet. The president on Wednesday night announced his new cabinet after about a week of speculation about when it was going to happen and who's going to be in it. The president did take his time going about it because he was busy consulting with alliance partners and various sectors of the party to try and get as close as he possibly could to the cabinet that he wanted. And obviously, I don't think he got the exact cabinet that he wanted. I think there was a lot of horse trading, a lot of consulting, a lot of paying off here and paying off the factions and on either side to try and get as close as he could possibly. Guys, let's start with Ramaphosa's reduction, and I put that in inverted commas, of the portfolios from 36 to 28. We've seen a bit of a merger in various portfolios. For example, trade and industry has now been combined with economic development. Higher education and training is now combined with science and technology. Environmental affairs has been combined with forestry and fisheries. Agriculture is combined with land reform and rural development. Mineral resources, importantly, combined with energy, human settlements with water and sanitation, sports and recreation with arts and culture. It's going to be a massive portfolio, that one. So what we've seen is a sort of reduction in the ministries and a reduction in ministers, but an increase in the deputy ministers. What do you guys make of this?
I think a lot of people are not going to be, or are not happy already with the promised reduction with what we have now. They would have wanted to cut four or five more. At a quick glance, it doesn't look like a reduction.
Of course.
Especially with the increased number of deputy ministers, whom a lot of people had been constantly asking, but what do these people actually do?
and they get paid a lot of money to do what they do, which we don't really know.
Yeah, but you're right about, I think the balance or the balancing of faction may have affected the actual number of ministries that he ended up with.
Because the president still has to dispense patronage. No matter how much he doesn't want to, he still has to dispense patronage throughout
to keep his people happy. So he's restrained on how many ministries he can merge and cut. I think that's probably the reason why he didn't do such a big number of, a larger number of ministries, or merged them too.
Well, the main reason Cyril Ramaphosa was supposed to cut down cabinet was to reduce our public wage bill, which is enormous.
Absolutely. I mean, you see, I think this is the clearest sign that South Africans, in the main, we are very naive to have even believed him in the first place when he made that promise. Because, you know, as I've said this before several times, I will say it again. The ANC is a problem. The ANC has got a culture of patronage. It doesn't matter who you put in there as a president. He will have to maintain the culture of the ANC, which has established over the years that the only way to survive, especially in the past 10 years under former President Jacob Zuma, is to dispense patronage, such that now is the culture, because those the same members were there are the same members who are still there now. Okay. You must still, and they are used to that culture of patronage, that for me to do, to make sure that you survive and bring with my political constituents to support you is that you deploy me or give me something of material benefit. So, I mean, President Cyril Ramaphosa really had no choice, because if he had slashed this cabinet, let's say, to 25 ministers and maybe 15 deputy ministers, he would have serious problems in that many of these people who are in now, in this 64-member executive, including him and his deputy, David Mabuza, he would have serious problems, because now you don't want to have all these kind of people out there mobilizing against you. It's a very unfortunate problem that to this day, decisions of the national executive are still taken to favor the ANC. The ANC, as Zuma has always said, it seems is number one. It comes first, because this is not a cabinet that satisfies South Africans. This is a cabinet that satisfies ANC factions and ANC people in general, in that they all see themselves represented there. But the South Africans who are struggling with an economy that's contracting, We didn't expect this. If anything, we expected half of this so that we can save costs. But unfortunately, ANC.
I think, guys, equally important as those who made it into cabinet are those who did not make it back into cabinet. So who didn't make it back is, for the first time since 1994, is Jeff Radebe. Controversial minister as well, but Thabile Dlamini, thank God, hasn't made it back to cabinet. And so didn't Nomvula Makonyane. Also included in that list is Susan Shabangu and Michael Masuta, for instance, and Siyabonga Ntwele. Derek Onekom, surprisingly one of Cyril Ramaphosa's biggest supporters leading up to Nasrec, also didn't make it back to cabinet, and Rob Davies. So it's interesting in this mix. We see a lot of not former, but pro-Zuma loyalists who didn't make it back to cabinet. And we also see some Ramaphosa loyalists who also didn't make it back to cabinet as well.
Yeah, look, the biggest surprises not to make it back to me were the two, Jeff Radebe and Derek Henekom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because,
maybe Jeff Radebe,
a family member, and
those family dinners are going to be awkward. Imagine the first one.
You invite me to a dinner while you didn't invite me to your cabinet.
And easy. And then Derek, I don't know why Derek didn't make it back. He has not said he's going to resign from parliament. So obviously he had been expecting that he was going to be appointed as a minister. It's not the first time he's been left out of cabinet, isn't it?
No, it's not.
JZ did the same thing a year or two ago.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested why you get Jeff Radebe.
That man is old, man. He must go.
He's old. He's been there since 94.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to deploy him as an ambassador to Sudan or something.
Oh, my God. That guy must go.
If they do that, yo. So, yeah, Batabile, we sort of expected it.
Yes.
This is one minister that everyone was watching should he appoint her. It would mean everything that he has been saying.
Well, her and Nomvula Makonyane as well.
Yeah, well, Nomvula Makonyane, you see, with Nomvula Makonyane, there hasn't been this long protracted campaign by opponents of the ANC to the extent that there had been legal challenges and so on. You must remember that there was a case by the official opposition on specifically her and Malusi Gigaba, which he was dealing with as a president. So with Nomvula Makonyane, it has not been like that. For Batabile Dlamini, for the past how many years now? Four.
Yeah, yes, four, it's been a
three
long
or four
time.
Years.
Yeah.
Everyone saying, but why are you keeping her there? And there have been now examples with the judgment of the Constitutional Court and so on, with even without the judgment of the Constitutional Court, just the way she got to social development and mishandled the SASSA issue.
Yeah.
Everyone, even internally in the ANC, they're like, but how do you mess up the payment of social grants? Nomvula, maybe, yeah, but Matabile was going to be a problem if he brought it.
I wanted to ask, does this sort of show that Cyril Ramaphosa is trying to make good on his promises to clean up the state?
Well, it's a touch and go, my guy. He can try, but until he does it, I doubt then he will have.
Is this at least a start?
It's a start, but I mean, my guy, as we say now, we are not sure yet as to why. For instance, you see, going back to my point, I mean, that this is not about cleaning up, my brother. This is about balancing factions. The only reason probably that Derek Hanekom didn't make it to this executive is because someone else from the other faction had to be accommodated and he had to be sacrificed. You know, the guy is relatively clean. Well, leave his Twitter shenanigans, but in terms of integrity and doing his work, he was doing quite well. You know, people had really expected that he may even return to that particular portfolio, because that is something that he had come to master, you know, such that even opposition parties were in favor of his, you know,
opposition parties, everyone, even industry,
you know,
would been welcoming Kibaka.
So it would have been a perfect return, but because of the balancing act, he had to be sacrificed. And I don't understand, why would you sacrifice someone like that and bring back someone like someone like David Mahlob, and the president, like with this one of David Mahlob, he didn't even mention it there. He was so embarrassed to mention it inside. We had to read it on the release.
Wait, but Tulas Ncesi, you know, you understand people change factions and all of that, and he's there because of the SACP. But Tulas Ncesi was the face of Ngandla.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly.
He was
the one who denied it completely, didn't he?
In fact, the reason that whole matter ended up in the Concord, it was mainly because of Tulas Ncesi. He was the leading man.
How does he come back? Yeah.
Now let's talk about this balancing of forces. With the most, I think the biggest surprise out of last night was the appointment of Patricia de Lille as Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure. What forces were being balanced there? Guys, what do you make of that appointment at all?
Wait,
let's talk to Apiwe about this, because was his former leader.
I'm not his former leader.
I didn't fall off my chair when I see that name. Yeah, I almost fell off my chair when I saw Njabulo Nzuza chief.
We'll come back to that now, but let's talk about Patricia de Lille quickly.
Look, Patricia de Lille, leading up to her forming the Good Party, you would have understood that there would have been negotiations with different parties, whether or not to join the EFF, join the ANC, what. There had been rumors that the ANC were offering her an ambassadorial post and whatnot. But subsequently, after she had opened her party, it killed some of those rumors.
Yes.
But if you spoke with people who were familiar with the campaign in the Western Cape, they would have told you that, of course, they were dismissed most of the time offhand because of the unlikelihood of the DA losing Western Cape. That should they bring the DA under 50%, those people were saying they don't have a problem with offering Patricia de Lille the premier position and then serving with her in the Western Cape. So when then that doesn't happen, she's unlikely to leave her party just like that, because she had shown that maybe she is not ready to leave active party politics, so she wouldn't be an ambassador. Then that's a logical choice. But I thought maybe they were going to offer her maybe chairperson of SCOPA or something like that. But yeah, this one is a very nice reward. Eh?
And you see, just to add on appeal, I obviously agree with him, but I think the other thinking and strategy in the president's head with this one, you'd remember that in South Africa there's been this growing cry within the colored community that they are left out, the ANC is becoming an Africans, black Africans only thing. So, and I think as a smart and strategic politician that he is, the president, of course, has been hearing those things. I mean, you'd remember that all these protests that have been breaking out in colored areas, in the main, you would hear the rhetoric that is about their feeling of being isolated. So also by bringing her in, you would know that Patricia has become to be known as this face, the unofficial face of the colored community. So in a way, he's also trying to address those things to say, but you are also part of us. So, you know, such that you are part of us, we are willing to accommodate you, even if you are outside the ANC. So it's a it communicates a whole lot of things. And I think it is very strategic, although none of us even expected. But I think the president is moving from a very strategic position with this particular appointment.
And already, speaking to what you're talking about the colored communities and whatnot, there had been a big battle in Cape Town, particularly, about releasing pockets of land which are near to these leafy suburbs, which are near to the CBD.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that she and people around her are already saying on public platforms, or rather on Twitter, Facebook, that now that you are going to that portfolio of public works, it's that portfolio that owns these pieces of land and whatnot. This is an opportunity for you to release them and allow for development of low-cost housing for middle-income and whatnot. So I guess maybe it's a strategic move in part of the president to say, I'm trying to address what that government of Western Cape is unable to address. Although there's going to be big debates and politics back and forth about why now or, yeah, but that plays to that. And then that community stands to benefit the most because it's majority in the Western Cape. And they too have been leading some of the struggle, especially when you look at areas like Woodstock, which it's being they've been fighting against gentrification and whatnot. So, yeah.
As we were talking about earlier, Apiwe, you said another surprise for you was the appointment of Njabulo Nzuza, who comes from the ANC's youth league structures in KZN. He's the outgoing Secretary General. And I think this has a lot to do with what you were saying, Zingisa, about balancing the structures. Cyril Ramaphosa has always been looking for support from KZN, which is Jacob Zuma's sort of former stronghold, or still his stronghold. Is this one of those efforts to show that we're trying to get in the support of the youth and the support of the youth league from KZN?
Absolutely.
This is exactly it.
Do we agree that it's to get support from KZN, or this is an ace appointment?
Well, I think it could be an ace appointment as well.
I think this is an ace appointment.
But of course,
okay,
the president
would. We've got two views here. Let's take it one at a time.
Okay.
What? Up here, go first. We've heard too much from you, but yeah. Zingisa, go.
No, look. First, let me agree with him. It's a bit of both. Of course, I mean, of course, many of these appointments. In fact, I highly doubt that half of these President Ramaphosa, if he was an executive president who takes decisions on his own, he was never going to appoint half of these people. Yeah. So there's ace in there. There's DD's people there. Mahlobo is one of them. DD had an influence there. Everyone had an influence, but of course, Nzuza is very close to the NCSG Ace Bakashule, but also because at the end of the day they had to agree. I'm sure the president, by agreeing, would be of the view that, well, politically this will work for me. This guy is from KZN. There's been hostility against me, in fact, not only by KZN, by the Youth League. So both those structures, if I include one of them, it may work in my favor politically. And my life becomes easier, so I might as well agree. Of course, Ace would be the one pushing for it strongly, but the president would agree, knowing that he has something to benefit, which is me. Of course, Nzuza is not that influential in KZN, but in KZN, we know mostly if one of their own is in something, it generally it is being supported. So I think that's how it is.
You know, my memory of Nzuza, when I saw this name, I just took me back to a protest I once covered in the Western Cape, where they were protesting to all companies. They went to Remco, by the way, protesting against, I'm not sure, white monopoly capital or the, yeah, but they bought all these products that are owned by Remco, Nivea, they bought Supex and what, and they were spilling them on the on the street. They had ice cream and everything. And then you are wondering, but this guy is the leader of the ANC Youth League.
He's now the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, which would be very interesting.
So now I'm thinking this one's going to be a Deputy Minister, but he couldn't comprehend the fact that he already bought this product that they are spilling on the street to match the offices of someone who's not even going to come out and attend to them. But yeah, let's hope... after the youth league phase, he would have grown from that, and maybe you will get a sensible guy who's the deputy minister.
We don't have enough time to go through every single appointment, but we're going to go through some of the big ones here. Let's go down the list. The Minister of Communications, Stella Ndebeni Abrahams, is returning. Her job with the SABC was a bit under question before she was reappointed. And then another big appointment here is for the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs in the form of Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma.
That's the best appointment for me.
What do you think, Dan?
That's the best appointment for me. Why do I say this? Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is a highly experienced. In fact, she in this cabinet, as is now, she's the most experienced person. And in her experience, it's not just experience of being in government. Wherever she's been, she has proved to be a force to be reckoned with, in that she turns things around. We remember earlier on in the late 90s when she was Minister of Health. We know that today I can't smoke in this studio because of this lady. She pushed against
and
big...
And you're supporting this.
You know, you want a cigarette?
Yeah, I would have loved to smoke, but thanks more than I can. So she pushed against big companies that are cigarette producers, and she won that fight. She went to Home Affairs. At the time when she went there, Home Affairs was a complete disaster. She turned it around. It's quite stable now, although there are still challenges, but to what it was when she took over, she went to the African Union. Well, we know the African Union is it's a big mess, but she tried her best. Under her leadership of the African Union, we have now the so-called Agenda 2063, which we don't know whether it's ever going to be implemented. If you read, though, that document, you would see that it's quite a visionary one. So
it's a nice wish list, isn't it?
You know, so with that kind of experience and a good track record and being a credible person general, in that she's not scandal prone like many ANC politicians are, and the mess that cooperative governments, municipalities are now, they would need someone with this kind of experience and and credibility. And I think now is about time. It just depends whether people are going to participate. But I think she's definitely going to make a mark.
But Apiwe, what's interesting here is her deputy ministers in the form of former Johannesburg Mayor Park Starr and Obed Bapela. Park Starr, he's the president of SELGA, which means he has some background in local governance. What do you make of this?
Yeah, look, Parks, even if you would have made him a minister of that portfolio, he would have had all the required experience. He's a right choice. Deputy Minister Obed, let's not talk too much about him. He was there before. Parks Tau, he was the mayor of Johannesburg. When he took over, city of Johannesburg was scandal prone.
It was.
His comrades were all every second week caught with the hand in the cookie jar and whatnot. So during his tenure,
But he also collapsed this thing, man. Hey, don't paint him as clean. Okay, continue.
wait. I'm saying during his tenure, most of the problems were with people who were around him and who had served the previous term, most of them. But he lost the city of Johannesburg for the ANC. So, but when you talk to him, he said, "No, we tried." But that's him.
Good impersonation. 10 points for that impersonation.
If he was a minister, I was going to enjoy his addresses.
Okay, so we've got William Keyes going to the health portfolio.
I think that one is perfect.
That's a good move, I think.
Wait, I'm happy about the removal of not the shifting.
The shifting.
Let's put the shifting of the previous minister from that portfolio. We've had this discussion in this platform before, and it seems
he's going to cry there at Home Affairs offices.
Tuma Mina listens to our podcast.
And I mean, I think another one that we should look at is the return of Tito Mboweni. It's quite interesting. Eh?
I'm not actually surprised about that. I didn't think Tito was ever going to go anywhere.
Yeah, no, this one is back to cook the books, but I'm saying with his cooking shenanigans. So, but you know, I mean, also I expected it, and I don't think it's a bad appointment at all, but you know, I was a bit worried knowing that Kosatu is quite, for a very long time, in fact, Kosatu has always, even when he was governor, had a problem with Tito's ways. You would remember that even when he was appointed first time last year again into this portfolio, they were the only ones within the Tripartite Alliance who said, okay, fine, but we don't really like this guy. You know, so I thought maybe in these consultation meetings they would push
and also,
strongly.
If we remember, the unions were one of Ramaphosa's biggest supporters in the lead up to NASREC as well. So we thought that maybe he would go along with what they would have to say.
Absolutely. But then he's back, and I think it's not so bad a thing. At least he will stop this bottom of cooking on Twitter.
but the other thing about Tito Mboweni is there are a lot of things that he would say that people disagree with. It seems to me is a perfect minister for Treasury, because Treasury is not about it's more so about ensuring that the job is done,
of course,
and less about appeasing people or political factions.
Yes,
he has proven in this small period of time, short period of time, that despite the EFF making noise about who should constitute the team that is going to appoint the Reserve Bank, not the Reserve Bank, the SARS Commissioner. He's not going to fall into that. He's going to let the people that he believes are the best to do the job to actually go on and do the job, despite the political opponents.
Well, it seems what Cyril Ramaphosa is he's unwavering on the economic group of portfolios here.
Yeah.
It looks like these were his appointments and his appointments only. It didn't look like he left any space for negotiation around the economic hub of South Africa here, especially with those portfolios. I know Ibrahim Patel is now being appointed as Minister of, what is that, Trade and Industry and Economic
Development, because they've messed those two now. Yeah.
I want to talk about just two more appointments before we sort of round up. And that's the appointment of some youth, bringing some youth into the cabinet in the form of Ronald Lamolo, coming into justice and correctional services. I think that's a fairly good appointment as well. Ronald's a stand-up guy. He's got a massive, well, he's got a substantial background in law as well, which makes him quite suited for the job.
Absolutely.
And he, the guy has earned his stripes.
Of course he has.
He has gone through, if you are looking at, if you are saying earned his stripes, in the form of how ANC views things, he's been through that grooming project of theirs called the ANC Youth League, and he fought with some very powerful people during that time.
Of course.
And he never stopped up until, you remember those days, he camped outside the ANC meeting with Table and Oros. But from a professional point of view, the guy should be able to deal with that portfolio. Although, I mean, being a minister, you don't necessarily need to have a qualification in that particular field. But, I mean, plus he's young.
It's good that actually he has a qualification. In fact, let me disagree with you on this thing.
I'm not saying, wait, I'm saying that in terms of the law.
Yeah.
In terms of the law, it's good that you appoint someone who's got experience in a particular field, because it helps. The job of a minister in the main is to agitate for policy so that you steer the department to whatever direction that you think would be to the benefit of South Africans. How do you do that if you are not clued up about what are the going ons in that sector? So I think he is good. Tito has got a financial background. He's also a good appointment. Gwede, he has been in mining. Well, I'm not sure about this Gwede guy. But Lamula, going back to your question, Amir, I think Lamula is quite a solid appointment, a principled young fellow. We will have to wait and see. I mean, it's quite a huge jump out of nowhere. My only concern is exactly that, this huge jump, in that it's relatively unprecedented that you would go. This guy has never worked for the state, for government, like inside the government bureaucrats. Not even for a local municipality as a mayor or something. Nah. Yeah. So I don't know how long it will take for him to adjust to those things, because the state can be quite frustrating in terms of the red tape and bureaucracy for people who are absolutely have no idea what's going on.
Well, let's talk about two people who've come back to cabinet who have been in working for the state before, and that's Fikile Mbalula coming back as the Minister of Transport.
Parties every day, pretty taxi rank next week. I'm sure Beyonce is coming.
and Bladen Zimande going back to higher education. I know some students and some student movements are probably not very happy about that. But coming back to that, so we have two people who have worked in the state and in these portfolios before, now coming back in these various roles. Do you think they can make a difference this time around?
You see, Bladen Zimande, the higher education sector, up until the issue, which was mainly a question of ANC policy rather than anything else, of fees must fall. Look at when he took over back in, 2009, was it? A department that was new.
Yeah.
I would say that department functioned very well. It had done a lot to address some of our skills shortages, not just when you look at universities. You must also look at TVET colleges and so on. Yeah. And you would have heard former President Thabo Mbeki praising President JZ for having introduced that department. It would have mean he didn't just introduce that department and it flopped. It didn't. The number of students who are coming from previously disadvantaged backgrounds who then go on to do their further education, and the funding that is provided for, they've done a lot. Blaine Zimande is not a bad appointment there. How he's going to deal with...
He's a bad appointment, brother. I would like to absolutely disagree with you.
How he's going to deal with the opposition benches which have some of the fees must fall activists.
Blade is terrible. That free education saga was very, very important, and he failed dismally to deal with it.
But I'm saying up until then, and then it was a question of a policy of the ruling party and not a question of their department.
But still...
So you had a question whereby it had to be dealt with not just by his department, but up to the level of the presidency. So it was... And when you were committing to that,
at face value, he dealt with the issue. The guy was pure arrogant. He just didn't care. That attitude alone, you can't operate in the space. That space of ideas, because the higher education space is a space of contestation of ideas. And if you come there with arrogance, it means you are not fit for purpose.
Okay.
And he's a doctor, for that matter.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for this week. But let me just end it like this. What I want you guys to do is to give me a rating out of 10, because various organizations are going to be doing this. Your rating from Maposa's cabinet out of 10, and a very short statement on why. So mine, I think, is going to be a 6 out of 10, mostly because we can see an attempt from Ramaphosa here to sort of clean up the state, but unfortunately still not good enough in terms of a total reform of the state, and we still see some old people coming back in who have some dodgy backgrounds in the past, and we thought that we would see a total reform coming from Ramaphosa, as he's promised. So much better than our previous president, but still not up to the level I expected him to come off at. So 6 out of 10 for me. Sengisa?
4 out of 10. Why do I say that? Many of these people, even others, I mean, people like Angie Multeka, I have no idea why Angie Multeka would return into this department at this age for the third term running. Does it mean that we are so poor in that sector that we will rely on this one old Goko to come back and back again? No, we can't do that. No, Sivio Mapisa Ngakula Defense and Military Veterans, I don't really agree. In fact, let me say, I mean, I'm giving him 4 out of 10 because mainly I don't see, as you say, to agree with you, the total reform that he had promised.
Yes.
And also by betraying us on the cutting of the cabinet, yes. I think that was a big, big, big dishonesty that he makes him deserve a 4, and all these old people that are here.
No, I'm not going to rate him.
No, come on, you must
not.
But I will say why.
Okay.
You see,
you're not allowed to talk. Cut. I mean, close the podcast.
No, this guy can't speak on his terms.
Let the man talk. It's a democratic society.
Yes.
I'm saying I'm not going to rate him just now. I'll give it time.
Sure.
Because sometimes...
No, but rate the appointments. We're not saying rate the ministers.
Wait. I'm saying sometimes the problem that you get ministers who are not working, it's because of the head.
Yes.
Their boss. So I can't rate them now. Maybe he knows something because these are his comrades. Maybe he knows something we don't know. Give it a year.
Yeah.
A year and a half. Then you will see that sometimes when there's a new boss, a culture change, and then you are shocked that Mbalula is no longer all about parties and whatnot. You see what I'm saying?
But maybe
it's a bad example because he's known to work very hard when he's given a job, but... You get my point.
So there you have it. Stay tuned into Sunday Times Politics Weekly for another year and a half, and we'll hear our POS comments and his rating.
No, it won't be interesting.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. Please follow us at #STPoliticsWeekly on Twitter. You can also find our podcast on Iono FM, and we'll be sharing those links on Twitter and various social media. You can also find us on the Times Live website under the opinion and analysis sections. Guys, thank you for joining me in the studio this week. I'm sure by next week we'll have our other counterparts back in studio with us to add a bit of flavor to this male patriarchal system we have going this week.
We are in the wrong with the Women's League.
And thanks for joining us. We'll catch you again next week.
Shab, shab, Arnel.